I'll give you a quick report. I just want to, the church in Las Lunas is growing. You know, I prayed to God and told him, I said, God, you know how to, you've got to bring people in. You know their hearts. You know who wants the truth. You know who wants you. And he, day by day, walks them in the door, presents them with truth, presents them with a choice, and lets them pick. And the assembly's up over 100 people right now, growing, excited, wanting to know, wanting to ask, asking questions, wanting to study, wanting to get deeper into it. And and I just thank God to be a part of it, just to witness it and to see these saints grow. I want to thank so many of you who come down to see us, Mark and Lynn and Scott and Lynn and Pam and Steve Austin has been down to see us and to come visit, because it's encouraging. And it's encouraging to the saints down there, and they need your prayers. The assembly needs your prayers, and we pray for you all the time. But I want to thank you for that, and thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your love, and it's so good to see you. Every time I see Brother David Hines, he looks younger. Praise God. I just want to thank, you know, it's been such an amazing journey so far. And like Jesse said, if the Lord tarries, it's going to be a beautiful journey the whole rest of the way. We're losing one of our elders right now, and, you know, we just lost Brother Ken here, but Brother Michael Woodall has cancer. He's been fighting cancer for years, and I went to see him yesterday, and I've seen him about every few days just to go visit with him, and he's illuminated. He's glowing. About a week ago, his hair went blazing white, just turned completely white and combed straight back. He's been fighting cancer so long, there's just nothing left of him. And his flesh, his skin has been hanging off him, has been wrinkled up, and his face has tightened up. And he's gotten so bright. And I told him the other day, I said, brother, I said, that light of that Lord is coming out of that earthen vessel. It just can't contain it anymore. And I've been telling our saints, I told our saints we were coming down today, I said, never forget what it looks like when a bridal saint's leaving. And how precious it is to God, the death of his saints. And how precious that we should come to know it and we should come to see it. And to watch his wife, who was another one that was fortunate enough to grow up in the grace message her whole life, to see how happy and joyful she is to be sharing in that fellowship, because she's glowing too by sharing in it. He saw a vision the other day, and he's been seeing these, and he's completely there. His mind is completely there. He's aware of everything. He's seen everything. But there have been hosts and hosts of people coming to see him. And I'm talking heavenly people. He's been seeing this. And the beauty about it, he's been coming out of it with scripture and the word of God. He had a talk the other day, and Connie said, honey, are you talking to Jesus? And he goes, I'm talking to somebody. And when he came out from that talk, he came out and they had told him Song of Solomon 6:13. We've all been there, but he says, honey, can you look that up for me? And he can barely talk. Whispers, and it's come away, my beloved. Oh, that's beautiful. It is so beautiful. Yeah. And I've been thinking, and God's been working on me for a while in this, and if you think how blessed we are to see his purpose, to see his plan, to be a part of it, right? You know, in Colossians, if you guys open your precious Bibles up, in Colossians chapter 1, it's in 19. For please the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I want you to think about this. This is what God's been working on me for a while now. And you think of eternity past, right? When it was just the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And to come up with a plan so incredible and so beautiful, so wise, so incredibly smart, that our words can't even describe it. A plan that in his love and what they were, that they would want to manifest that love. They would want to bring that love to a point that it needed to have an object. Because he's already love, right? They were love. They didn't need any more love to complete them. They didn't need any more love. They didn't need any majesty, no splendor, no nothing. Had it all. And knew you before a star was hung in heaven, right? And I got to thinking about this and come up with a plan that just take this tiny capsule of, and call it time, right? To deal with mankind. That a people would come out of there calling on his name. That a faithful remnant would always exist. A faithful remnant would always want him. I wrote this down a few weeks ago. Their united good pleasure to sit there and come up with this. For God the Father to have this plan in there. The will of the God the Father, the God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That all the fullness, the authority, the majesty, the greatness should dwell in Christ. Right? And I say in Christ, right? We know what we're talking about. In Christ. He's who's in us. It's not I that liveth, right? God that liveth, it's Christ that liveth in me. And to think about coming to this plan, and I'm going to step you through this because I want you to think about this. As we're going through, because requiring the redemptive work of him. That he would die for her. That love was so great. And then to think that the object itself would have to be unworthy in itself to fully bring it to scope, to make the whole magnitude of it, so that we could understand it and see it and see how great it really, really is. That he didn't just create love in us, right? Here. Now you love everybody, right? He could have. He's God. But a love that chooses him, a love that desires him, a love that seeks him. We talked here this last week or week ago or so in here. You know, as we were talking about Jesus, that the body, the oneness, right? You think of the eternity past with them, then the unity. And the oneness of them putting this together, God's plan, that his son should not be alone. In it, that man shouldn't be alone. Coming up with a plan that it was male and female. And you think about that oneness in it. The son, Jesus, is the head of a body, us. And that all the fullness of God should dwell in man. That all the fullness of God could be in you. And this plan started coming to be in eternity past, right? I mean, if you stop and think for just a second, that the plan that he put together to create a love that already existed, but to manifest it to something that didn't, because it's the only way to do it. It was the only way he could show it. It's the only way he could display it. They all knew it. It already existed. But to display it, needed an object. He needed her, right? So think about this. I was sitting here, and I was watching John and Michelle sitting here, and the love that sits in that man, right? Her being the object. And the way to display it, and the way to show it, and Dwayne and Linda sitting over there holding hands. That love is manifested from him, the love that he has in his heart, the love that he has in his life, the love that he has is manifested to her. And then you think about how Jesus sees us, right? And you love it. We talk about in the Song of Solomon. You catch him peeking through the lattice at you,
amen.
And you can feel it. And then you see someone like Michael leaving, and you see that light starting to glow in him, and think, you don't need, you could turn the lights off in this room. I'm telling you, the light I see in the saints, the light I see growing in the saints down there, and the light I see in you guys near, we could turn the lights off in here. I was looking down, I wrote this down. The Trinity was unanimous in the decree that all that fullness would dwell in us, with him as the head, that we be in the body, that we would be able to come to that, that by choice that we would seek. I tell people all the time down there, you know what's funny? If I put, I don't even know if $1 million will do it anymore, bury $1 million in the back parking lot over here, and then tell everybody you lost it, and you'd have half of Denver over here looking for it. Shovels, right? All the riches and all the glory and all the honor and everything that God has right here. And you struggle to get people to pick it up. But the reward is great. The reward is true. All the depths of God are found in Christ. Now think about this. Christ in us, Christ in you. And one of the things we've been talking about lately is he knows the truth. He's in you. He knows when he hears it, wants it, wants to grow. We've been talking because we get so, you know, that the enemy sees you. And we're persecuted in this flesh, just like Jesus was, right? Just like Paul was. And we start suffering. But he's not looking at this flesh wanting to destroy it. He's looking at that new man in you. The one that God's perfecting, the one that God's growing, the one that God is going to have you to attain. And he don't want that. So he beats us up in this stuff here, right? All the depths of God are found in Christ. He's a storehouse of wealth for humanity, right? Everything that we need, everything we could want, all the riches, all the glory, all the honor in him. How wise is God in putting him in you? I want you to think about this. I want to remember this. Eternity past, right? Seeing this, knowing this, knowing your heart, who you'd be. Who you'd be in him. Knowing you'd choose him, right? Knowing you'd want him. All the riches, all the treasures of the infinite are hidden in him. He is the essence of the gospel. He is the gospel. It's a new covenant. He's the blood, right? And I've been going through this, and God's been showing this to me, and I can't wait to get to the last part of this. I should probably skip to the end, right? I wrote this down last week. You never need to look higher. You never need to look deeper. You never need to look anywhere else except in him. There's no greater knowledge. There's no greater understanding. There's no greater revelation than is in him. He's everything. He didn't need us, but he wanted us. He was sitting there with the Father way back before it even got started, and wanting to manifest that love, to display it, and picking fallen man to do it, knowing that we would have to be unworthy of it, right? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I want to tell you this. I want to give you a little quick English lesson. And we just did this. I told the saints this down in Las Lunas. You see words in Scripture, and I'm going to point. In Colossians 1:19, the word should. This is what he said. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In this Scripture we just read, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. I think about how God put this together, and in his word, These little words are called modal verbs. Not simple, modal. Auxiliary verbs. What they show, what a modal verb shows is possibility. The Greek does it. The English language does it. And it shows a possibility and how God just managed to make sure that these guys, when they were translating this and put this, made sure they got them in all the right places. May comprehend possibility, depth, height, breadth, length. That we may be able to comprehend that. You know what? When we seek it and we want it and we ask for it, you're going to understand it. God's going to place it in front of you and you're going to get to make a choice about it. We always think that, you know, he took Pharaoh's heart and says it and hardened his heart, that he just reached over there and touched it and said, there you go, you're turned to stone. That's not what he did. He just made him take a choice. And he chose no. We get presented with a truth and we have to make a choice, right? Yes or no. When we see these little modal verbs, it's like the word mystery, right? People read through the Bible, go past mystery, never think anything about it. But you look it up, and I know you all know this. It's the Greek word is mysterion. It means that which is beyond natural apprehension must be revealed to you by God and at a time that he chooses. That we may win Christ. I have it embossed on the front of my Bible, that I may win Christ. You know, I was just thinking through this. Turn to Ephesians 4, chapter 12, the gifts that God gave us, right? For the perfecting of the saints. He's talking about these messengers, right? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In him should all the fullness dwell. And in you, you can be filled with all the fullness of God. That we henceforth be no more children, right? Here we go. Ranks again. Everywhere. Possibility. Attainability. The ability, right? God will get us there. It's not us, right? We let him do it. The more we give it to him, the more he can do for us. And you think about everything that he puts through this. We've been doing a little study on the concordance, right? How to use it, how to study, how to really take this thing and make that a useful, solid tool. And so this last week we did, and it's funny, I always give homework out at Bible study. And we have certain faithful saints that always do it. And then some that say, I forgot it. You should see the stories don't change. Truck, dog. But anyway, this last one we did, it said to find modal verbs, go just in the book of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, find the modal verbs. Pick 7. And you should have seen how hard everybody worked this time. Everybody. We sat there for 45 minutes. Wait, I got one. When God starts to show you something, and that's the light, the amazing thing I'm talking about, you start to see it, right? And all of a sudden you get a taste of it. Possibility, right? May attain. He says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. May grow up into him. So I'm thinking through my eternity past thing here. 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. For he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Eternity past, God is love. And the question that we've been posing and I ask, so then if you think about this, you can ask 99%, 95% Christians, no idea, why did God create us, right? And most of them will tell you, he created us to worship him. Worship's coming one way or another. Every knee will bow. Everyone will see him as Lord. Everyone will understand him as Lord. God needed an object to display it. He gave us male and female, so that there was an object to display it. It's the only relationship that's possible. And think about this with God, right? I've always seen it, that women come to this message so much faster than men, because there's a different kind of love built in them, right? There's a motherly love. There's a this other love. There's more love. Guys are, we're dumb. We take a while. And you see this. And the love that a mother has for a child is incredible, but it's not the same love. It wouldn't even be natural for that to be the same love. It wasn't natural, and he lists those things that aren't natural. It's not natural for a man and a man. It can't happen that way. You can't experience that love the same way. For a woman and a woman, it doesn't happen that way. God created a male and female. Why? Because it's the only relationship that we have on this earth, in this life, that we can understand that love, that we can see that love, that we can say, that she is my desire, right? I am my beloved's. And I am his desire, right? I get all choked up thinking about it. And I get goosebumps. To more fully set forth his love, the object must be unworthy in itself. You think for one second that God didn't know that man was going to fall? And do you think that for one second that God, if he didn't know that he was going to get greater glory out of fallen man than he would out of that righteous, perfect man that was made, he'd have just destroyed Satan then. But he knew in eternity past that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was needed. That he would die for her. Oh, I tell you, to think of the plan being put together, all of it, the wisdom in it, so far back that you couldn't even count the eons it was, right? Not a star in heaven yet. If it wasn't that it was an unworthy object, it wouldn't be able to be fully, the magnitude of it wouldn't be able to be fully displayed. So now I go back to this. You know, he says, God creates Adam, right? Just walks all animals through there. He names them all, and not a single one found fit for him. Creates Eve right next to her. Puts him to sleep. Removes a rib. Puts it there. And makes her. He could have just created her, right? He didn't need the rib. He could have just thrown the dust there and boof, there she is. She's perfect. She's going to love you. She's never going to do anything wrong. She's going to take care of you forever, right? Good for us. But it didn't fulfill God's plan, right? He says he takes it out of him, right? We're the body. He's in us. Creates her. He could have had perfect love. But think of the love by choice, right? Think of the love that can come from faith. Think of the love that God's building in that bride, that's being illuminated, that's coming out. That the excitement is so great that you catch him peeking through the lattice, and you feel it. And you start to see it, and you start to taste it, and you start to want it, and you start to desire it, and you start to, it starts to take your whole life. Because all you want is him. All you want to see is that. All you want is more, right? And these guys, and think about how blessed we are, number one, to live in this age where that bride's coming from. And number two, that you've been, God's apprehending you. That I may apprehend that for which I'm apprehended for. I wrote this thinking about this. A love that would crawl through any trial, any persecution, sit with any amount of lions you called it to. A love that would see him greater and greater and greater every time you looked at him. It says, not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. You know what? You start to realize your love is appearing every day. Loving his appearing every single day. if it was simply sinless man that God was looking for, he would have destroyed Satan then, because it would have been finished. If it was simply salvation, he'd take you now. But he gave it to you. He loves you so much, he gave it to you to suffer. He left suffering here for you. And he wants you to grow from it. What is it? Spiritual development. He's building love in you. And the more it comes, and the more you put up with, and the more you realize that he's never even left your side, the more you love him. To know him is to love him, right? And you start seeing this. We've been doing Genesis down there in Las Lunas for, well, I don't even know how long now, but a long time. We're in Joseph, chapter 42 now. And I tell them all the time, what a beautiful book. You know why? God dictated it. He told Moses the stories to put down for us. And the beauty of Jesus in it, right? That he wrote a book. They put it in there for us, for everyone to see, that Paul knew, Paul read, all those guys read. Everybody talked about Genesis and never saw Jesus in it. That little faithful remnant did. You know, Simeon, he did. He held Jesus there when he was a baby and said, and knew his whole life. Where? From Scripture. Where did all Paul's revelation come from? Scripture. I wish I could have been with Paul in Arabia when he sat there and go, this whole thing's about Jesus. Do you think God didn't know the suffering Job was going to go through? Do you think he didn't know Paul was going to sit in a filthy, self-filled pit to write epistles? Do you think you weren't going to watch your family die and watch people get hurt around you and watch the suffering and everything? You go, he knew it all. And it's not God's fault. He knew how you were going to choose. He knew your heart. He saw your heart. And he is blessing your life for the love that you have for his son and for the love that will come out of you, right? Greater glory, greater faith, greater love. Eternity past, the triune God saw the need for the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. That love would have to come at a price, right? For the joy that was set before him, he'd die for her. And I've been thinking, to understand, you know, to truly say, I want that love. I want that love. I want that love. I want to know that love. I want to feel that love, and I want that love to come out of me for every single person I see, for every saint. I cry when people don't want the truth. I cry when they walk away from it. It breaks my heart that they don't see it and they don't want it. I know how Paul prayed. He said, pray for me that I speak the mysteries of Christ as it ought to be spoken. Pray for me for that. I watch people will come in and they present it with the truth, and some get on fire for it. Some want it so bad that they just can't wait for next Sunday, can't wait for next Wednesday, can't wait to get home and check it. And you start to see them glow. You start to see when they fellowship with God, they're just like Moses. When they walk out of that fellowship, they're glowing and excited, and truth is spouting from them, right? God wants us to know he's getting something out of this too. That there's an inheritance for him in it. Getting a daughter-in-law. Getting a helpmate for his son, right? And you think about when he's putting that there. I remember when I was young when I was first studying this, and you'd think that in the end God would sit there with Jesus and say, what'd I tell you? Love from faith. Because think about it. This plan was put together before a star was hung in heaven. It wasn't just trying to see what happened and trying to shuffle everybody through this. The plan was in place. He took the planet and started it. And got it going. And everything has fallen exactly what he was, and the love is there, and saints are coming to it, and saints are growing in it. And I watch Brother Michael, as bright as can be, as happy as can be. Come away, my beloved. and I think about Brother Ken, and all he used to always call me his cyber brother. He'd call me, and the sweetness in that man. You know, precious in my eyes now is the death of these saints. I am so happy to see Brother Michael. Oh, the plains of glory he's about to see. The crown fitted perfectly. It's just amazing. It's amazing to see this stuff going on. So I go down this, and I start thinking about this, that this love could be duplicated, replicated, that Christ could be formed in you. And there's that little divine word, let. Let the mind of Christ be in me. You have to let God do it. You have to let God do it. If you're not letting God do it, it's because you're in the way. It's because the flesh and the natural mind in you is not letting it happen. You've got to let it be in you, right? Please, God, you said that you could do this. Do it. I love what Brother David Hines always said in the years. Why are you begging for something that's already yours? It's acceptance, right? We accepted salvation. We accepted the Holy Spirit. We accepted being filled. We accepted all this stuff. Accept the glory. And we sit here, and we sit here, and we study, and we want to know, and we want to grow. Why? Because we're falling in love with him. We're getting to know him better and better and better to where we can no longer help ourselves, but to love him more and need him more and want him. I'm going to ask for your guys' help. I'm going to tell you what I did in just a second here. Song of Solomon 7:10. We all know this, right? I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. She's grown so much. And this was the revelation that God gave me. Dwayne, I want you to take Linda. Linda, you face him. I want you to clasp your hands right on her face. And I want you to look in her eyes. You're not done yet. And I want you to think about this. Now, we know that the Song of Solomon is a love letter between Christ and his bride, but I'm going to tell you something. God gave it to Solomon to know this love. He clasped Abishag's face in his hands and said, I love you so dearly that I can't get enough of you. And think about the revelation in this, that with her, right? She's sitting there in his hands. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Total trust, total dependence, total love, total care, total desire, and total yielding. Whew, I'm telling you, it's crazy. Right? And he sees it like that. God showed Solomon, made it. Now, goes back, made you male and female. Right? So that each one of us, everyone can experience the same thing that God gave you to. That everyone can see that. Now, I want you to think about this with your wife and with the person that you're with. Is coming to that love and coming to that understanding and seeing that. That in those hands, that face, that person, that desire, that care, and that love. And know that God put it there for a reason. So that you can understand the love and the intimacy that you have and can have with him. Right? I was reading in John 17. Jesus' prayer of intercession, right? In 17:5, he says, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Eternity past. Eternity past. He's sitting there saying, Father, the glory that I had with you, the glory that we shared, the oneness that we shared, I want it back to share with her. I want it back to share with her. Listen to what he says in verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that thou may be, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. He wants to share that glory with you. Can you imagine the step, the oneness? This is what we're talking about, really, truly, oneness, right? To what point we come to where we know what he loves, we know what he hates, we know what he thinks, we know what he wants. And he's sitting there, right? And that love has grown so much that she's gone from the lattice, right, to this. Caring and wanting it so much that, and I wrote this down, the key, right? Because you think about it, isn't it the key? The oneness, right? Seeing that with him. Knowing that with him. The rhapsody that we feel seeing into his plan. The rhapsody that we feel seeing into that love. The rhapsody that we feel when he starts to grow in us, right? And that love and that life and everything that's coming out of us and everything that we're doing is starting to care for the body so very much, to love the body so very much, to care for one another so very much. You know why? Because that's what he does. And now it's coming out of us. And we start to see, and I can't even tell you how much I love seeing you all. When I come back up here and see everybody and see the saints that I so dearly love and think about and encouragement and everything and thinking that love exists everywhere that saints are chasing for that bridal truth, chasing for him, wanting him, needing him, wanting to know him even more, right? God saw fit to reveal it to this age. And I'm telling you, thank God we didn't live in the age of the law. Thank God we didn't live in the age of human government. Any of the ages, right? You saw those amazing things that Daniel saw, the amazing interpretations that Daniel had, the stars, we looked at them, and there's more to this. There's no way I'd trade places with him. There's no way I'd trade places with those guys because it's this age here that he gave it to happen, right? It's this age here. And he's called every one of you. You're not sitting here. You're not sitting here because it's cold outside. You're sitting here because you love him and you want to be here. And you just drove through a snowstorm to get here, knowing it's going to be snowier when you go home. Why? Because you love him. And you love the saints. And you want to be around them. And you want to be close to them. If we stop and we just think, right? And this spiritual growth, you guys have heard me say this, this to me, I always call it from step one to step 100, right? It's a range. It's a race course. It's a finish. If you don't know what the goal is, you have no idea what the risk is. If you don't know what the goal is, you have no idea where you're racing to. I always tell everybody down there, I said, if everybody runs out the door to race to Albuquerque, it's a good idea someone knows where Albuquerque is. We have to see him for who he is, right? We have to see him. Christ, my prize. That we come through there and we want to win him and that we want him so much. And then I want you to take just what we saw there with these two and I want you to picture your face in Jesus' hands, right? And he's sitting there looking at you like this and you've got a place in your life where you're total dependence, total love, total care, and you know he's got me. Right? He's got me. And he's sitting there, my beloved. My desire is towards you. Because that's what's happening. That's what he's doing. That's the way he sees you. That's what he wants out of you. That's the love that's being formed in you, right? You think about, if you think for 1 second, in eternity past, before he hung a star in heaven, he was clasping your face. Our God is awesome. Our God is amazing. Our God is all everything. That he could come up with a plan so grand, so majestic, so perfect, and so simple. All you got to do is love, right? All you got to do is care. How simple is that? All you got to do is want. All you got to do is seek. And he knew they won't all do it. But the ones that will be counted worthy of being in that bridehood, they'll do it. They'll crawl through the fire. They'll crawl through the pit. They'll crawl through the muck. And they'll sit with every line, whatever it is, to go down there. They'll take any trial just to get to him. All the riches, all the glory, all the love, that we might rest on his bosom, sit at his feet, so that we can come to know the height, the depth, the breadth, and the length of it, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, to know the love of Christ, right? The love he has for you. Now I want you to think about it. Don't forget that. When he's sitting there and he's holding your face, right? I'm so, so blessed to be a part of what he's doing. So thankful. So thankful that he's called me. That I heard him. That he left this beautiful word for us. That he's holding my face, right? In his hands. And that we catch him peeking. We catch him looking, that we catch him taking that glimpse, and you feel it, and you feel it, and you know it. We've been in this place when the Spirit gets so filled into this place that things are just on fire. The lights are beaming out these windows every direction, every crack, every nook, because the Spirit of God is alive, filled in this place, wildly, wildly, wildly in love with you. And wildly, wildly excited because of the love we feel for him and the love that's growing and that completion that's coming, right? And all we got to do is want. All we got to do is seek. All we got to do is ask. He couldn't have made it easier for you. He's doing all the work. You're his workmanship, not your own. He says, I'll complete the work in you. And how dumb is it? It's so hard for us to give it up. Oh, I'll help, I'll help, I'll help, I want to help, I want to help, I want to help, let me do something. Be still. But know that I'm God, right? Take it easy. I got you. Holding you, right? I am my beloved's and his desire is towards me. Amen? Amen. You guys, let's come up here, come pray. Let's get on our knees, let's thank him. Let's worship him.
Thank you, Lord. Praise
you. I love you all so much. God bless you. Thank Jesus. Thank our Lord.